And on behalf of this congregation and on behalf of the session, I'd like to greet every one of us here a very, very blessed, happy Christmas. May the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless you in a very, very special way this season and also in the year ahead. Now, I think we should sing this song again, hymn number 143, O Holy Night. I don't think we did justice to this hymn, singing this theater. We should all be standing up to sing this song, all right? Everybody standing up, and let us give our voices in praise of the one true living God. And everybody looking up. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and helpless pining, till he appeared, gift of infinite worth. Behold the babe beyond the manger lowly, this God's own Son come down in human form. Fall on your knees, before the Lord most holy. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Oh,
last verse.
Oh, day of joy, when in eternal splendor he shall return in his glory to reign. When every tongue a new praise to him shall render, his power and might to all nations proclaim. A thrilling hope, a longing heart rejoices, for soon shall come that glad eternal morn. Fall on your knees, with joy lift up your voices, oh, up to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christmas, because it was at Christmas that you showed your love to us by sending your only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to come to this earth for the purpose of dying for us on the cross of Calvary. Father, we thank you for his precious blood that was shed there. We thank you that it is by his precious blood that our sins may be cleansed and that our sins may be forgiven. And this morning, with grateful thanks, we come before you for this precious gift in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, even the gift of everlasting life. And Lord, we pray that you will search our hearts now and cleanse us of all our sins and our iniquities. And be pleased to draw us closer unto yourself. And we pray that our faith in you may increase, and our gratitude to you may increase day by day as we think of your goodness towards us, your kindness towards us, your grace towards us. And Lord, we pray that in the new year, your people may indeed be willing to serve you better and to be willing to give their all to you. And this morning, we want to pray for those in our midst here who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And as they hear the truth spoken out of your word of life, they may respond to it and come to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, we pray that you will make it very plain and clear to them your salvation grace. And Lord, this morning we want to pray for all those who have already trusted in you as Lord and Savior. We pray that we may make this resolution, and that is to serve you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength in the new year and in the years beyond, so that when you come again, we may all not be found wanting. But Lord, we may be found saved with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed to us. And we may not be found wanting, but those of us who have trusted in you may be able to hear you say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And Lord, this morning, we pray that your Holy Spirit himself may work in our hearts. And we pray that as we listen to your word, and when the truth is spoken, we may all be willing to say amen to the truth. And we pray that you will grant that we may have a very blessed day today as we celebrate Christmas. And Lord, we pray that as we celebrate this wonderful event, we may all realize that you came for the purpose of giving life to us and to all others who are still outside your kingdom. We pray, O Lord God, that we may be very mindful that there are those out there who still do not know you as Lord and Savior. We pray, Father, that we may be filled with heart of compassion to go out to them, to reach them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, O Lord God, that we may have the boldness and the keenness in spirit to see the needs of people around us. O Lord God, we pray that you will help us so that we may do a good work for you this Christmas season. And now, Lord, as we look into your sacred pages, we pray that you will be pleased to speak to each one of us in a very special way, so that at the conclusion of this worship service, all of us may be able to say that it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Once again, I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord on this Christmas morning. Now, the subject this morning is the Christmas good news. Fear not. The Christmas good news. Fear not. Now, what is good news on television these days? Hardly about the human beings. I think you will agree with me. But now and then, the news presenter will say something that seems to be good news. And it usually involves animals. For example, it could be a case of a cow or horse that has stumbled into a muddy pond and that the emergency service people had to be called on to rescue the animal. And the animal is safely rescued, and then there is applause all around. And then the news presenter then break up into a smile and tells us very, very clearly that this is good news. But friends, what about news about human beings? Hardly any good news these days. On the international scene, what do we see? Daily, or what do we see, or what do we hear? Daily, we see and hear killings upon killings. And for years, we have been hearing and seeing the killings that took place in Afghanistan and in Iraq and Libya, Syria, and also in the Gaza Strip. Then we hear of natural disasters. For example, the tsunami that took place in the year 2004, which killed something like 300,000 people when the tsunami struck the coastal regions of Southeast Asia. And then not too long ago, 2000 and 11, we heard of the news of the tsunamis striking the coast of Japan, killing something like 12,000 people or 20,000 people in Japan. And the tsunami striking Fukushima also damaged the nuclear plants, causing the nuclear plants to emit radioactive gases into the air. And then a couple of months ago, we heard of another tsunami striking the coast of Indonesia. And then just yesterday, again we heard of another tsunami striking the coast of Indonesia. Now, friends, we also daily hear of terrorist attacks, killing tens of people, if not hundreds of people. So it's bad news and more bad news. How wonderful it is to hear of good news, don't you think so? Very good to hear of good news. And Proverbs 25:25 says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Indeed, my dear friends, good news, especially good news from a far country, is very, very good news. And I'm sure you agree with me that recently the good news that came from Thailand was indeed good news. You remember the 12 soccer players, young teenagers, barely out of, still in the teens, in the early teens, who wandered into a cave. And they wanted to make some preliminary exploration with the hope that when they make another trip there, this time they will go further into the cave. And they wandered into the cave and they got lost in the cave. Actually, not lost initially. And they went in with their coach and they could not get out because before they could get out, there was a big storm outside of the cave which flooded the cave. And so for 9 days, they were stuck in the cave. Their parents were worried sick, of course, and then a team of rescuers was assembled, and finally, with great effort and with great sacrifice, the young people were rescued from the cave. It was good news, yes, and I'm sure those who followed the news were very, very glad to hear the news. And if you were loved ones of those people who were caught in the cave, you would say, it is like water to a very, very thirsty soul. Now, we all love to hear good news. News that we passed our exams with flying colors. And news that we were selected for a very, very good job. Or news that we have been promoted. Or news of the safe arrival of a healthy baby, and mother and baby are doing very well. Now, we love to hear good news. And in this passage that we have just read, actually, that is the greatest good news anybody can ever hear. We read of the good news the angel brought to the shepherds, who were keeping watch over their flock by night. And so we read in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. This passage is found in the reading that is in the program sheet. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. Let me read these few verses for you. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. In other words, they were terrified. Verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The good news was brought from heaven to earth. And the good news begins with these two wonderful words. Fear not. Now think of this group of shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night. And traditionally, this event took place in winter. The day's work was done. And now it was nighttime, they were doing their night work, keeping watch over their flock against the attacks by wild animals and by theft by human beings, of course. And suddenly this happened. And lo, the angel of the Lord appeared, came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. Yes, they were more than startled.
Yes, this brilliant light was covering them, and they were more than startled. They were shocked, stricken with fear, and possibly paralyzed with fear. Now, I dare say that they were seized with fear, not so much because they saw someone who could easily take away their life, but rather they were so afraid, terrified, because they realized how sinful they were in the presence of the holiness of this angel. Now, even the holiest of people, of men, would react in this manner. You take, for example, the case of Daniel in the Old Testament. Daniel, of course, was a great prophet. And this was his experience when he saw the vision of an angel. And this verse is recorded for us in the last page of the program sheet. Daniel chapter 10, verse 8. Let me read that verse for you. Daniel 10, 8. Therefore, I was left alone, and I saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. His freshness, as it were, was turned to paleness. He said, my comeliness was turned in me into corruption. My freshness was turned into paleness. He was drained of all strength because he saw the holiness of the angel. Now, if the holiness of an angel struck so much a terrifying fear in the heart of a holy man, what about the holiness of God? Now, let God's word speak for God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, this verse again is found in the last page of the program sheet, 1 Timothy 6, 16. Who, referring to God, only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power and everlasting. And power everlasting. Amen. In other words, nobody and nobody can come into the presence of the one true living God. He dwells in unapproachable light. Anybody coming into his holy presence would surely be struck dead. Remember the case of Moses in the Old Testament who wanted to see the glory of God. And you know what the Lord said to Moses? Now, by the way, Moses was very, very close to the one true living God. In fact, he went up Mount Sinai to receive God's commandments and, as it were, spoke to God as a friend to a friend. But he said, Lord, show me your glory. And you know what the Lord said to him? Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. No man can see God and live, because God is absolutely, absolutely holy. Now, but let us understand this truth, my dear friends. In the beginning of creation, man was not filled with terror in the presence of the one true living God. You see, Adam and Eve were created perfect, sinless. And so they had this perfect fellowship with God. No fear in them of the one true living God. Yes, they had no sin, and the only fear that they had of the one true living God was holy fear, reverence, you might say. Now, it's hard to explain this, but let me try to illustrate, and maybe we'll understand what is meant by holy fear of God. Now, we all love our fathers, right? Particularly if our fathers are very, very loving towards us. And so, because we love our fathers very much, but do we fear our father? I'm sure we do, right? We fear our fathers also because we know that our fathers can very well discipline us. But we will not want to offend father. We will not want to hurt father. We will not want to cause father to get angry. You know why? Because we love father. Yes, we love father, and we are fearful of causing him to be angry. Not because we are fearful of punishment, but because we do not want to hurt him, because we do not want to grieve him. And that is what is meant by showing reverence to the one true living God. That's what is meant by showing holy fear to the one true living God. Now, God originally was not a terror to our first parents. But the day came when they disobeyed God, because they partook of the fruit that God forbade them to eat, and that was the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the day they partook of that fruit, they actually rebelled against the one true living God, and they had to hide from God. Yes,
They became fearful of him. God was now a terror to them. And so we read what Adam said to God when he heard the voice of God in the garden. Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, the verse again is found in the reading on the last page. Verse 10. And Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. Why was he afraid? From being a perfectly sinless person or persons, they had now become wretched sinners. God was no longer their heavenly father. God was no longer their friend. In fact, God had now become their enemy, and they were enemies of God and filled with guilt. Yes, they were fearful of the one true living God. They were fearful of the presence of the one true living God. God is absolutely holy, and so they had to hide from him. Now, have you ever had the experience of fearing your father to the extent that you will hide from him? I think I told you this before. I had the experience. You know, when I was a child, I was actually quite fearful of my father. But father was not a bad father. He was quite a loving father. Now, and father had these rules made in the home, and one of the cardinal rules was that we were not allowed to fight with boys in the neighborhood. We could fight among our brothers. That was fine. But not against the boys in the neighborhood. And when we ever fought against anybody outside of the home, yes, the punishment was non-negotiable. All right. Father would not say anything. He would cane us first. And after he cane us, then he would say, why did you fight? Cane first, and then explanation. All right. And so what happened was, one day I fought. And so I became very, very fearful of Father because I had broken his law. He told us not to fight, but I fought. And so I was very, very fearful of Father, fearful that Father would punish me. And so I had to hide from my father. But thankfully, on that occasion, I didn't know why, my father gave me a very special dispensation. I don't believe I was punished at that time. All right, I think he was very angry with me, but he didn't cane me. Thank God for that. Now, the point is, when our first parents disobeyed God and ate that fruit which God forbade them to eat, they became fearful of the one true living God because God was no longer their heavenly father. They could not see God as one who was loving. They only saw God as a terror. They saw him as the unapproachable judge that could very well condemn them to perish for all eternity in hell. Yes. So they had to hide themselves from him. Now, apart from this fear that they had of God, even the fear of his holiness, they now feared the consequence of their sinning against the one true living God. And this consequence had now become real. They had died spiritually, instantly, and eventually they would have to die physically. God had told them that the day that they disobeyed, they would surely die. Actually, it means dying, they would surely die. That's what it means. What it means is, as they would surely die 100%. There was no escape from death at all. And that death, as we said, is both spiritual as well as physical. Spiritually, they die instantly, but physically, eventually, they would have to die. Their bodies would become lifeless. Their bodies would go into the grave, turn into dust, but their souls will leave their body. Yes? Now, this is known as separation, physical separation or separation of the soul from the body. This is physical death. But the moment, as we said, they sinned against the one true living God, they actually became spiritually dead. Their souls were separated from the one true living God. Now, both are separations. Physical death is separation of the soul from the body. But spiritual death is a separation of the soul from the one true living God, the source of life. Now, they no longer had spiritual life in them. Yes? And this spiritual separation is spiritual death. And this death is eternal. The soul, which is the real you, actually does not die.
separated from the one true living God. If you are unrepentant, where you go will be eternal hell punishment forever and ever. Now, I have no doubt that our first parents understood this truth when they sinned against the one true living God, that their souls would be separated from the one true living God, and that they had to face the consequence of eternal damnation in hell. They knew that they had to face the wrath of the righteous God. So now they were terrified of the consequence of sinning against God. Now, but here was the good news. All right? The good news. God loved our first parents. He did not leave our first parents alone. He sought them out to remove these two fears from them. Number one, the fear of seeing God as a terror, as the unapproachable judge that would condemn them to eternal hell. And the second fear that God would remove from them would be the fear of being eternally separated from the one true living God and be damned in hell. Now, our first parents tried to hide from him, but God loved them. Verse 8 says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Where art thou?" God said, "Where art thou?" It sounds like a cry of anger and a cry of wrath. But friends, it wasn't. It was actually a cry of love. It was a cry of love from a heart that was grieving because our first parents had offended the one true living God by disobeying him. So he was filled with grief. So my dear friends, understand this truth. When God said, "Where art thou?" it was not a cry of condemnation, but rather it was a cry of love for our first parents. God did not want Adam and Eve to be separated from him. He wanted to restore their fellowship with him. Yes, he wanted to remove that enmity between him and our first parents. And he wanted to make it possible for them to approach him without fear. He wanted to give them spiritual life so that they would not fear him as the condemning judge who would send them to hell. Now, how did he do it? How did God do it? God killed an animal, or possibly a couple of animals, and clothed our first parents with the skins of the animals. Our first parents covered themselves with fig leaves when they tried to hide from the one true living God. But God very graciously covered them with the skins of the animals. So verse 21, if you look at the verse on the last page, verse 21 of Genesis 3, God said unto Adam, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them." Now, understand this truth. This was the first mention of killing of animals. Before that, no killing of animals. Now, first mention of the killing of animals. The killing of these animals was something that was very significant. Before God could have fellowship with our first parents, yes, the sins of our first parents had to be forgiven. But then payment had to be made for their sins. Yes, so when God killed those animals, the blood of those animals was meant to make payment for their sins. But we know for a fact that the blood of animals, the blood of goats and of cows or bullocks, cannot take away our sins. Yes, so this blood was actually pointing to another blood. Even the blood of the Lamb of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to be born at Christmas time and then went to the cross of Calvary to die for us, to shed his precious blood for us. The blood of those animals was actually pointing to that blood, because it is only in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that there can be forgiveness. Now, friends, let us hear the good news of Christmas. The angel told the shepherds, "Fear not, fear not." Friends, Christmas is the announcement of the end of all fears. Foremost of these fears is to see God as the unapproachable like unapproachable God. The foremost of this fear is to see him as the unapproachable God and to see him as a terror. Now, Christmas is the announcement that this fear will be removed or has been removed. And the second fear is the fear of being eternally separated from God and being damned in hell for all eternity. This fear was also announced to have been removed by the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And thank God, God made the initiative, or he took the initiative to forgive us of our sins. Now, like it or not, friends, we are descendants of Adam. You may say that you are not, but like it or not, all of us are descendants of Adam. And we have inherited this sinful nature. If we are not reconciled to him, the truth is we are his enemies. We are separated from him, and spiritually we are dead. God is definitely then the unapproachable judge to us, because we have broken all his laws. We have lied, we have cheated, we have committed adultery, we have murdered, and so forth. Yes, you say, how could I? Surely I have not committed adultery. But the Lord Jesus Christ has made it very clear. He said this: if you so much as look at a woman with lust in your heart, and who is not your wife, you have already committed adultery with her. You don't have to take a gun to kill somebody with that gun. So long as you have hated somebody in your heart, you have already committed murder. Yes, so we have broken all of God's laws. Yes, and like Adam and Eve, yes, we have also been hiding from the one true living God, and we have also been running away from him. And that is why, you know, when the gospel is given to us, when we were resistant to the gospel, we shut our ears. We just do not want to hear. We choose not to hear. And today, when I'm speaking to you, you might be seated here, but in actual fact, in spirit, you are running away, because you choose not to hear what I'm saying concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we hide and we try to run away from the one true living God. But you know, God is so kind. God is so gracious to us. Just as he sought Adam and Eve out to save them, he is seeking us today to save us. And so he sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, some 2,000 years ago for the purpose of making peace between God and man. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ lived some 33 years on this earth. And then at the end of that time, he went to the cross of Calvary. And there he died for us. There he shed his precious blood for us. Now the question for all of us is, have we made peace with him? God has offered his peace to us. The question is, have we made peace with him? My dear friends, our sins have to be forgiven if we want to make peace with the one true living God. And the good news is, as we said already, Christ came for this purpose, to pay for our sins, so that our sins may be forgiven. And the good news is, this forgiveness is a gift. You understand what a gift is? It means it's a gift. You receive it. You don't have to work for it. And that is precisely what the gift of forgiveness is. God gives it to us as a gift. And he shed his precious blood to cleanse us of all our sins. And not only are we forgiven, my dear friends, if we are willing to receive this gift, not only are we forgiven, but God looks at us and he justifies us. You know what it means when God says that he justifies us? What it means is that God says that we are righteous. Yes, he declares us righteous. So in his sight, if we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart, in his sight, God looks at us as if we have never sinned before. Clean. Yes, because we have been clothed with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then that being the case, we will have made peace with the one true living God. Yes, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if we have received him as Lord and Savior. Then when we have made peace with him, we will have no fear of seeing God as the unapproachable light. We will not see him as the unapproachable judge who strikes fear into our heart. But he becomes what? He becomes our loving Heavenly Father. In fact, if we have him in our heart, if we have received the gift of forgiveness, we can come boldly into his presence and have fellowship with him. We will have no fear of eternal hell. We will no longer be separated from the one true living God. Fear not. Now the good news brought by the angel at Christmas was also an announcement of the removal of another fear. And what is this fear? And this fear is the fear of physical death. We've been talking about the fear of spiritual death. It is the fear of physical death. Yeah, this is the fear that terrorizes men throughout the ages. Even great men of faith had that kind of fear. You remember the case of Abraham. He was supposed to be a man of faith. Yes, and he was indeed a man of faith. But there was one time in his life when he showed great fear of death, physical death. There was a famine in the promised land in which he and his household dwelt, and they had no choice but to travel to Egypt. But before they traveled to Egypt, he told his wife to pass off as his sister, because he was fearful that Pharaoh might have eyes on his wife, Sarah, and might want his wife to join his harem. And so he asked his wife to pass off as his sister. Now, why did he do that? He was fearful that if Pharaoh identified him as Sarah's husband, then Pharaoh would kill him. And so he asked his wife to pass off as his sister. And so he did that because he was fearful of death. And then you will remember the other occasion, the children of Israel were about to enter into the promised land, or at least they had the opportunity to enter into the promised land. They were at this place called Kadesh Barnea, and to get into the promised land was just one hop. They could have done that, but they were so fearful of going into the promised land because they heard news brought back by the spies that the land was occupied by giants and the land was not conquerable. In the eyes of the people in the land, they were like grasshoppers, so they said, and they thought. They were fearful of death, so they didn't make the move to go into the promised land. But in contrast, my dear friends, I like us to look at the case of the Apostle Paul. There was absolutely no fear of death in him. He said this, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He said, "For me to die is gain." Yes, and this was something that he was looking forward to, because it was gain to him. Because as far as Paul was concerned, this was his understanding and his belief, which were absolutely correct. And that was this: to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Yes, if my soul is absent from this body, my soul straightaway goes into the presence of the one true living God, into the blessed arms of his Lord and Savior. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ came at Christmas to die for sinful men, so that men might not die. You see, Christ died, but he rose up from the dead on the third day by his own power. And just as he rose up from the dead by his own power, one day, my dear friends, he will raise us up by his power. And when he raises us up on that day after we are buried in the ground, when he comes again, we will be seeing him face to face, and we shall be like him. We will be completely transformed. So believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, do not fear death. Why? Because they know that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And then they have this hope of one day being raised up from the grave to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face and be like him. Now, why do people fear death? Why? Now, people fear death because for many people, death is a leap into the unknown. This man Hobbes, a very famous atheist who lived in the 17th century, said this of death. He said, "I'm taking a fearful leap in the dark," because to such people, death is a leap into the dark. Now, what is death to you, my dear friends? Is it a leap into the dark? I hope not. I hope not. Then there was the case of this famous infidel Voltaire, who lived in the 18th century. This was death to him. Listen to what he said. I'm abandoned by God and man. I shall go to hell. My dear friends, if a man on his deathbed says this, I'm abandoned by God and man, I shall go to hell. Do you not think that he will be very, very fearful of death? Of course he would be very fearful of death, because he knew exactly where he was going. He was heading for hell, and there was no way that he could repent from his sins. There was this brother in the Lord who knew that it would be in a matter of hours, if not in a matter of days, that in a matter of days, if not in a matter of hours, he would die. Now all along, because he was a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he was able to look death in his face. And he was always very cheerful. I remember him very well. And then, but when the cancer that afflicted him was causing him to be more and more lifeless, one day he became actually quite unstable in his mind. He became quite fearful of death. Yes, so one day, when a senior pastor and a group of us went to visit him, he said this to us. He said, how am I sure that I will be going to heaven? How sure am I that I will be going to heaven? And then senior pastor did a very, very wise thing. He took his Bible and read this passage to him. The passage that I've been quoting quite a bit. And that is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You look at those verses on the last page of the program sheet. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. Let me read to you. Therefore, Dr. Toh read to him, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are all at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So long as my soul is residing in my body, yes, then I'm absent from the Lord. Verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That was Paul's desire, to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. Now, when this brother heard these words from the Word of God, he was very, very comforted. He knew once again, and he was very, very reassured that when his soul left his body, straight away, it was going into the presence of the Lord. And a couple of days later, he died peacefully. He went home to be with the Lord. There was no fear of death in him. It was completely removed from him. Fear not. Did not our Lord come at Christmas to remove all fears? He did. Not just the fear of seeing him as the a terror, not just the fear of seeing him as the condemning judge, and not just the fear of being separated from the one true living God and having to spend eternity in hell. Not just these fears. But friends, he came and removed all fears. Yes, I didn't put this verse in the on the last page, but please turn to this page with this verse with me, because it's such a very, very comforting verse. Romans 8:32. All right, Romans 8:32. I invite you to refer to this verse. Romans 8:32. Okay, let me read this verse for you. Romans 8:32. Right, let me read it. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? My dear friends, he will give us all things. He gave us the removal of the fears that we talk about. He will remove all other fears from all of us as a gift to us, my dear friends. Because he spared not his son, he will surely give us all things. So what other fears might we have? They could be related to our economic fears, for example. We could be fearful of losing our job, and then we are fearful that because we have lost our job, then our families will not be provided for. The answer comes from the one true living God. Fear not. Yes, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And then we might be fearful that we will lose our health. The Lord at Christ, who came at Christmas, said this while he was walking on this earth. He said to those who heard him, you look at the sparrows in the sky. They are all practically worthless. But the Lord said while he walked on this earth, not one single sparrow will fall from the sky without the permission of your heavenly Father. And he said this, all the hairs on your body are numbered, and not a single hair will fall from your body without his permission. So why should we fear, my dear friends? Yes, if he does not allow us to get sick, we will not get sick. If he does not allow us to lose our health, we will not lose our health. But what if he allows us to lose our health? My dear friends, there is very good reason for that. Now, he might allow us to lose our health for a very, very good purpose, and that is that we will be drawn closer unto him. And he says this to us, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my grace is made perfect in weakness. So should we suffer sicknesses and we feel very, very weak, very, very debilitated, he says to us, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then we will be more and more reliant on the one true living God. And if we are reliant on him, we will actually experience great strength and power. But let's say if we are stricken with a disease that is incurable, and we know that while we are heading for our eternal home, you know what the Word of God says also? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So friends, what fears do we have? The Lord Jesus Christ came at Christmas to remove all fears. So listen to this good news of Christmas once again. Fear not, the angels said to the shepherds. The Lord Jesus Christ came at Christmas to remove the fear of our seeing him as the unapproachable judge, one who will condemn people, sinners, to eternal death in hell. And he came to remove the fear of physical death. He came to remove the fear of our being separated from the one true living God. But friends, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, all these fears that we have been talking about will be removed from us if we exercise faith in him, the one true living God. Because he has already given us this assurance, fear not. And then what other fears might we have? He has given us this wonderful promise, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? But friends, this privilege is not yours. Yes, the removal of all fears, yes, this privilege is not yours if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, on this Christmas morning of the year 2018, why don't you come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior? The message of fear not is for you, every one of us. So if you have not experienced this wonderful peace and joy from the one true living God of having your all fears removed from you, why don't you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? And foremost of all, you will surely know that your fear of seeing God as the terror and seeing God as the unapproachable judge removed from you. And then you also realize that the fear of being separated from the one true living God will be removed from you completely also, because God would then have become your heavenly Father. You would have become his child. So why don't you come and trust in Jesus this morning? Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies and we thank you for Christmas. We thank you, O Lord God, for this good news that was given by the angels to the prophets who were watching over the flock by night in one of the fields of the city of Bethlehem. Fear not was the message given by them. We thank you for this message. Lord, we thank you that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came to remove the fear of death from us, the fear of being separated from you from us, the fear of seeing you as the unapproachable judge who condemns men to eternal hell. We thank you that he came to reconcile us to you,
the one true living God. We thank you that he came to make peace between us and you. And Father, we pray for those in our midst today who might not have known the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that today they will make this commitment to come to him and to believe in him. Lord, we pray that you will be very merciful to all the people here in this congregation. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.